Attaboy, Steve. This is my favorite intro right here.
Hence the reason I almost never play that when I'm back at studio. But Steve's got to score some points with both you and me when he's out there producing back at headquarters, AM 930 WELL. We're coming at you live from Erie Burger Company as we shine the spotlight on Avon Lake. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you. We're here with you until 6:30 tonight because the Cleveland Cavaliers will play their first exhibition game this evening. And again, pregame coverage of that will begin at 6:30. Well, what a big show this has been. And you know it's a big show because we've got a guy with us right now who's kind of a big deal. Last time he was here with us, we made radio gold, and we intend to repeat it again.
Gold.
Jim Vandenberg, Vandenberg Jewelers, is with us. Jim, how are you?
I'm excellent, gentlemen. How about yourself?
Well, so far, so good. We've eaten extraordinarily well here at Erie Burger Company. Matt has had
everything.
Everything.
He's had everything.
Pork.
I just keep putting it down, and I just keep eating it. They brought me the Reuben. Reuben was very good. Had a burger when I got here. It had bacon on it, Swiss cheese. It was very good, too.
Is that your cot over there?
The turkey melt. Yeah, I'm just hanging out here. See, they don't realize what they do when they start feeding me. I'm here for the long haul now.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, we conveniently placed you right by that turkey club.
Really,
also.
That turkey club was awesome.
There might be a V on there for Vandermark, so I think that's got your name written all over.
I might just have to try one of those.
Let me ask you this. You a big fan of sweet potato fries?
I love sweet potato fries.
Wow.
They got some good ones.
You came to the right place.
Guys look pretty experienced back there. They've eaten a couple burgers themselves.
They know how to make a bean batch of sweet potato fries. Let me tell you, you certainly cannot go wrong. You can't go wrong with anything you get on this menu. It is terrific.
Yeah, it looks very good.
See, and when we have you on, we bring you to some really good places that serve really good food.
Well, I think that's part of the ideal. You know the way to everybody's heart.
Exactly.
Right through their stomach.
You know,
about 70% of our show's food-based.
It's food-based,
yeah. A lot of what we talk about.
I think your listeners are starting to understand.
Yes, they're getting it.
Yeah, stomachs are starting to grumble out
there
listening to us. Well, you know what? You can solve that if you come on down here to Erie Burger Company. They can help get you full, and get you back where you need to be. And, boy, one of the things I love talking to you about, you and I start talking about things off air. Next thing we know, Matt says, hey, you guys got to get out of here in 20 minutes.
Reel it back in, Matt says.
Yeah, reel it back in. You were telling me the story about how you were at a wedding. It was this past weekend?
Yes, sir.
Down at the arcade. Yep. And it blew me away because I thought, how in the world could you have a wedding in the arcade? I didn't think it was near big enough, but you were explaining some of the schematics down there. And it's interesting where people have weddings these days. And I would imagine that you probably hear a lot of those stories when you're going through that process.
Many, many of them. Yeah. Weddings have become like everything in the world. Everybody wants their special and theirs unique. And we go from cars where we used to have trailer queens, and now barn finds are a big thing in cars. Well, now barn weddings are a big thing.
I was at one of those, now that you say that.
Okay.
Kind of, sort of. Actually, I take that back. So, like, the actual ceremony was at a church.
Yep.
But the reception itself.
And that's what I mean, the reception at the barn.
It was at a barn. Yep. It was down in Asheville, North Carolina. It was the craziest thing. And they actually served, like, barbecue, pulled pork, and things like that. It was wild. I never knew those existed.
And that's been a big, huge thing lately. So they have them catered out to the barn. And at this last one, the girl was telling me about the other day, at 11:30, they had 400 tacos arrive.
Oh, wow.
They called a taco truck in and to sober up the guests before they went home. And so there's a lot of new stuff going on from that old Waterford crystal and china and silver, which still is a beautiful wedding, no disregard. Yeah. This one at the arcade, of course, as you say, it had a really neat motif. The arcade itself is absolutely gorgeous. And they were able to accommodate just fine, although, as you say, that sitting area on the floor is a little bit small, but they were still able to put some of the modern things of the photo booth and this and that in there. But we certainly, that's one of the enjoyments that we have, is finding out all the couples, and there's a lot of weddings going on right now that come in and tell us the story of where they're going to do. One of my coolest ones last year, though, was out in LaGrange, and the fella had built a small western town in his backyard. They ended up putting the dance floor, building it in the middle of the small western town, and then stringing lights from store to store, if you would, or the jail to the boom, boom, boom in the bank and all that. And they had everybody out, had it catered, and I guess it really turned out to be a gorgeous weekend and just this really neat outside wedding.
Well, that's pretty cool.
That's very cool. As long as there are no duels.
Well, that's a good point. You have to be careful. I mean, everything plays into the old wedding game as far as that goes. Supposedly rain is good on your wedding, but not if you're in an outside venue as far as that goes.
Well, like, fall weddings have become a little more popular, but
huge.
Here's a question for you, because I see this pop up every now and again. You get any strange or unusual requests as far as jewelry goes in and around Halloween? Because it seems like that is something that pops up every now and again.
Well, opals, of course, are October's birthstone, which really represents the month of, and opals themselves are very mystique because of the fact they have natural, what we call fire in them. Most of them come from Australia and the stone itself, but it's a soft stone with a water base in it, and so they crack fairly easily, and a lot of superstition involves around opals and the fire and the mystique of them and things of that nature. And so, yeah, Halloween is fast becoming one of America's favorite holidays as far as that goes, and I don't know that we specifically sell people fine jewelry for Halloween. But in general, there's always some things that go around Halloween of mystery and, like I said, opals and things of that nature.
What are the superstitions in and around opals?
Well, opal is super. One of the superstitions is you never buy an opal for yourself. It always has to be a gift or else it's bad luck. Another one, of course, is the fact that if it cracks because of the fact that that's bad luck again as far as that goes. And that falls right around Halloween and mystery and bad luck and things of that nature. In reality, opals are just soft, so sometimes the surface of them will wear, and or if you hit them just the right direction, they can fracture as far as that goes. But each opal has its own color veins in it. Normally, they're either reds and yellows or blues and greens in a natural opal. And depending on how much fire and saturation of color that has, that really is based on the quality. So somewhat like diamond, but it's hard to tell its qualities when you look at it. Opals are even more easy to tell, I guess, whether it's got a lot of fire in it or whether it's a little bit washed out in the veins, just how Mother Nature made it. So there's a quality of opal thing that really comes down to it. And now, actually, they're starting to produce and mine some Ethiopian opals. That's come to the market as of lately. So there's always changing things in that jewelry business.
Ethiopian opals.
Yeah.
So what's... Yeah, don't try and say it 10 times.
Exactly. I can't even say Gary Berger very well.
even trained professionals like Matt Douglas.
Trained professionals like Matt Douglas.
Well, what's the difference in an Ethiopian opal as opposed to another? Is there anything?
Well, I mean, in a sense, it does have a different look. It's got almost more of a clear top on it, like a dome, and the fire presents itself in a little different way. Huh. Because, again, it was born in a different part of the earth. And that's what stones really are. They're born down in the earth and depends on how much crystallization there was and how much of the elements that create that stone. So we always talk about diamonds, for instance, and they're formed about 100 miles down in the earth. Of course, man's never been anywhere near that deep. And they were formed during the volcanic eruption state and the molten lava state of the earth, if you believe in the Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. And then they were formed at the great pressures and then brought up and actually deposited under what we end up calling kimberlite or yellow ground. And they first found them in South Africa. And you have to move about 14 and a half tons of iron ore to yield 1 carat worth of diamonds.
Wow.
And so in doing that, that's so you think about a car weighing 2 tons, you'd have to move 7 cars out to get 1 carat worth of diamonds. So when you talk about what they do, the process, and then they actually have to crush the iron ore in these huge, massive crushers and bring it down to pebble size, and then they have a grease belt that's coated, and the diamonds actually stick to the grease, but the rest of the iron ore washes away. And then X-ray and other methods to get to the diamonds to bring them to yield. But then if boron, say, is present down in the earth when that formed, boron actually creates and makes the diamond blue in color. And so that's where you actually get into colored diamonds and things of that nature. Huh. So all the gemstones have a neat mystery to them, if you would, of how they come to play as far as that goes.
That's neat.
Well, yeah, there's a story in the way these things are produced. There's a process in the way these things are produced. And like you said, because of where you get these things, that all contributes to the shapes and the size of these things, right?
Exactly right. And what they yield out of a rough diamond, should you say, is so if you bring up a 2-carat rough, and it might only yield out to a 1 or 1.25-carat diamond when you cut it because of its shape, like many other things we cut as far as that goes. That's today's piece I brought with me and looks good on radio. A little bit of rose gold filigree on the side, bezel set center stone in the middle. Kind of a neat piece.
That's really cool.
Jim Vandermark, Vandermark Jewelers, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. I'll give you a moment to describe this bad boy again, because, again, you know the terminology much better than I do, and you know the process behind putting one of these together much better than Matt and I do. So for our listeners out there who can't see this thing, and maybe we could post a picture of this thing on our Facebook page a little bit later, what exactly are we staring at here, and what all goes into something like this?
Well, that ring is made out of 14-karat white gold, which means as you talk about gold you find in the earth, in the gold world, we process the gold and we mix it. Oh, look, a celebrity just
walked in. Yeah, I just saw that.
My gosh.
Big-time celebrity.
Bruce Van Dyke. Wow. Wave to the listeners, Bruce. Yeah. Wave to the listeners.
He was trying to come in here incognito. He should have sunglasses on or something.
Man. What happens when the morning show and afternoon show collide here?
Pull up a chair, Bruce. Talk to us. Are you off work now?
Yeah, I thought there was a woman named Opal in here. I came to visit to see where she was. Just men that I work with, so I thought maybe, you know.
You'd look good with a woman named Garnet.
Garnet, sure.
Although your shirt's like an amethyst today.
Well, that's I'm an Avon Eagleite, so
well, there you go.
I'm here for that.
You know you're in Avon Lake,
yeah. The school's right there, Bruce.
I understand that.
That's why I tried to come in.
Careful the words you say.
That's why I wanted to be quiet. I came in here to get some burgers. I have to pick up the
well, it's nice you to support.
The salmon BLT is apparently
good.
Something
I hear it's good.
I've got to order that, too.
I haven't had that one
yet. Is he taking my order while I'm speaking, or do I have to
Yeah, you can just see it's right there.
Yeah, he's got salmon BLT. He's on extra salmon.
I have to make the burger special for my wife, so I got to make sure I get all the ingredients. I have written down here.
Your wife, Opal?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. It's getting bad now.
This is Bruce's second appearance on Bullseye on the Afternoon. He actually filled in for me when I when I moved a few months ago.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah. Bruce filled in for me. As a matter of fact, I think you came on after an Indians game, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so,
Didn't it go like extras or something, too? Was it one of those games?
That wasn't quite there. It wasn't quite the full 3 hours. I think I only was able to handle the...
like the blue meat.
The two and a half or 2 hours as well. So.
Sure. Well, you tried to walk in here incognito, but that's not possible. Not when the three of us are sitting here.
Quite a celebrity surprise, I'll tell you.
Well, that's a third celebrity surprise. We had Mayor Greg Zilkin
come on.
I
just
heard
the mayor on,
yeah. Of course, Jim Vandermark's a celebrity as well. And now we've got a third here in Bruce Van Dyke. Wait, lucky guys.
It's the hat trick.
Yes, the hat trick. The celebrity hat trick. Yep. You're not going to go wrong with that burger or the salmon BLT. Boy, they both look fantastic.
Now, did you say they actually put powdered sugar on their sweet potato fries?
Yes.
They do.
If you've got to
get those too?
You have to. You have to.
I mean, after all.
Both use pot. Now, I like the regular fries, but you know where I stand on sweet potatoes. So that's part of it. I'm not a huge sweet potato guy. But I do like the powdered sugar hit on. It makes sense when you think about it with marshmallows typically being involved.
Yeah, powdered sugar.
A little bit
of
sweet, yeah.
I sometimes dip it in syrup, so that or
the sweet potato.
A little maple syrup on the side that works well too.
That's interesting. Maybe that'll help.
Thing, yep.
Never heard of that.
Making it sound like Thanksgiving.
Maple syrup.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try that. See, you can't knock something like that until you actually try it. Just like the folks that always want to throw a fist at the idea of putting your French fries in your Frosty, it may not sound great at the beginning, but once you try it, it's not that bad. See. When I think about dipping a sweet potato fry in maple syrup, initially I'm thinking, nah, probably not. But you know what? If a sweet potato fry is actually more sweet than it is savory, I think we could be looking at a pretty awesome marriage there. That's good stuff.
Yeah, a little salt on the sweet potato fry, dip now in the syrup. That's good. And you do the Frosty and fries?
On occasion.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I'm a regular when it comes to that. Yeah. It was a little strange at first, but you get used to it after
a while. Yeah, that's salt and sweet. My wife worked at Wendy's for 5 years and early on career, and the Frosty Fry thing was a huge part of her life.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I enjoy it.
You do Frosty Fry as well, Bruce?
Come on, Bruce.
These are the important questions.
I don't.
This was like
not
an
that
interrogation.
I won't.
In Avon, they're not allowed to do things like that.
No.
That's an Avon Lake thing.
Yeah, it's an Avon Lake. Luria, you know.
Oh, poor Bruce. He tried to come in.
There's a lot of rules in Avon.
True. He tried to come in here.
I should have come in an hour or two later from here.
He tried to come in here incognito. Poor guy's going to walk out to his car. It's going to be egged because people from Avon Lake know that he's here wearing his Avon stuff.
Pretty soon I'll get a text and someone will say, where are you? How long is it taking you? Why is it taking you so long?
Why is it taking you so long to eat this burger?
Who's going to be texting him?
He got lassoed into Bullseye on the Afternoon.
Exactly.
Some of us have not eaten anything yet.
They're the unfortunate ones, I suppose.
That's right.
I've been eating the entire house. But
nothing wrong with that.
We'll let you go back to being incognito so you can order your salmon BLT.
He's checking his phone.
He's checking his phone. He's blowing up right now.
That's exactly right.
So. Good to see you, Mr. Bruce.
Nice to see you, Jim.
Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure as well.
Well, I'm glad to make it out.
Give my regards to Opal.
I will tell Opal you said hi.
Is this the busiest time of the year for you guys, getting close to holiday season?
It'll kick off about November 1st. And so we used to talk about the fourth quarter being all 3 months being very busy. And now we've noticed that back to school things and customers shop a lot later than they used to, I guess. So it used to be we had Christmas clubs and we put money away, and mid-October your Christmas club came due and you went out and started buying your gifts and putting them away. Well, now people don't have Christmas clubs and they put everything on their credit card. They want to wait for their billing cycle to come up. So we've noticed that Christmas comes a lot later than it used to. Good or bad, the month of December then is much hairier as people wait because of their schedules to the last minute. But we're certainly at a salesman in today. I've got another person coming in on Friday. We're buying and getting the store ready for Christmas with all the new product and all the new styles and things that we brought in. So yes, I'd say we're busy in preparation for the upcoming holiday, which is of course one of our biggest. And still, traffic was good today. We had a lot of people in. As I say, there are a lot of weddings going on right now. We had two this weekend that we had customers in for already. Two or three on the 14th, and still a couple into that first part of November. They run until about November 15th anymore. And then you get into, and engagements at Christmas have been going up the last couple years, to where a lot of guys decide to pop the question sometime around Christmas, New Year's, first of the year type thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was going to ask you, the ring you showed us a little bit earlier, it had the rose gold in it. I know jewelry has its fads and all. Is that one of them? It seems like it's a fairly new thing. I didn't recall seeing it several years ago in my mom's jewelry and dad's jewelry, and now you sort of see it everywhere. I love it. I think it looks really cool.
Yeah, I think that's cool. As you say, the rose gold gives a little bit of a milled edge look and a little vintagey, but that's actually what you just said. So the 1960s and 70s were all white gold. Yeah. The 1980s and 90s were all yellow gold. 2000 to 2020 roughly is all white gold again. So it's generational. Huh. It cycles. But all of a sudden, about 3-4 years ago, the industry started adding a bunch of rose in. The ladies like it. They're asking for it. So now we're seeing more and more rose. It'll be up for question whether it becomes a transitional metal and we go back to yellow, or where the rose really sticks in a place. But it really does have a cool look to it.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I like the way it accents as far as that goes. And that center stone is what we call a bezeled-in center stone. And then the rose gold. Now, the rose gold, in my opinion, doesn't look as great with the diamond set right in it because the diamonds are clear or white. And so the rose is great as an accent metal as far as that goes.
What about the colored diamonds? You talked about them a little earlier. Is that something you see growing a little bit more? I've got black diamonds in my wedding band, which I left at home today.
Yeah. Let's hope the wife's not listening
With opal, yeah.
Somehow I always get myself into trouble when we speak with you, Jim. I didn't have the push
press about that. That cot's looking awful nice now.
Yeah, right. Maybe here a lot longer than I thought. But I just wondered, is that sort of, because I thought that looked really unique. Mine's got
Colored diamonds. We just talked today about chocolate diamonds and things of that nature. They're starting to probably slow a little bit. Believe it or not, they've been around 10, 15 years, and we've been selling black diamonds. I started selling in 2002 or 3. And then blue diamonds, hugely strong for a number of years and still a market for them, but they're probably not at their peak right now. One of the things that's been very popular the last 3 years has been those heartbeat pendants and rings and earrings where the diamond actually sits there and bounces and shimmers. It's in a suspended setting that allows the diamond to actually sit there and shake and move. They're really cool. Mm. If you haven't seen them, I should have brought one with me. You have to stop in the store, or maybe next time we meet somewhere. Could be Avon. Who knows?
Where Bruce is
where
welcome.
Bruce, yeah, where is, Bruce welcome, is welcome, of course. The diamond actually, we call it heartbeat, but the diamond pulses with every movement of yours, and it's in a specially patented holder that holds the diamond completely tight and is lasered in. But think of it like a trapeze. It sits there and swings, and it's really cool. You're just kind of, even the guys are like, is that moving? That's cool. My wife would like that.
Sounds like it.
So the guys are excited about buying them.
That's what I would think, too. I would look at that thing and think, oh, my God, is that thing actually moving? Is it going to stay in there?
Just like you would, Bull, the guys pick it up. How does that work? And they want to know the mechanics of it. But now they're excited about buying her that piece of jewelry because it's going to do something. Is it beating? Oh, your heart beating? And they have fun with it.
I'm glad I brought my sunglasses for this piece that you brought here today, because I tell you what, I was blinded when you pulled that thing out of your pocket. So I'm glad I brought
your shades.
Brought my shades.
Yeah, it's got a nice sparkle. That's a nice quality one.
This is a beautiful piece. Very, very nice.
Thank you.
Well, it is always a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it too, sir. We enjoy.
Absolutely. Radio Gold.
Radio Gold. We're trying anyway, aren't we?
Oh, you succeed.
We succeed.
Yes, there you go.
I appreciate that. Well, you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Glad Harry Berger got you out here, and I guess we'll check on you in the middle of the night. and see if you're still on the cot here.
If I got back home. Yeah.
Yeah, and he got back home or not, and all that good stuff. If not, Bruce will come pick you up.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah. Keep your fingers crossed.
Mark and Zach may have to deactivate the security system.
Make sure there's enough Rubens on the way out the door.
That's right. Jim, thank you,
gentlemen.
Friend.
Yep, have a great day. A pleasure also. Take care.